Hi, this is Rick Warren, and you're listening to Daily Hope. Did you know that God doesn't want to just save you? He wants to sustain you through life, and give you the power to keep on going when you feel like giving up. It's the power to do the right thing when you don't feel like doing the right thing. That is the power of the resurrection. We're going to look at it today as we look into God's Word for our Daily Hope.
Today, on Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren, we continue in our series called The Hope of Easter. In these lessons, Rick looks at the life-changing significance of the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Just before we begin today's study, you know, Pastor Rick says, while life on earth offers many choices, eternity offers only two, heaven or hell. In just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about a tool to help you understand the magnitude of that eternal choice. It's called the Eternal Realities Complete Audio Series by Pastor Rick Warren. You can take a sneak peek right now by going to rickwarren.org while you listen to today's message. And if you want, you can just text the word daily to 313131 to find out more. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called Amazing Grace.
Now, there's a lot of mystery and misunderstanding about taking communion. Most of us come from many, many different backgrounds. And the question is often, what should be my attitude when I take the Lord's Supper? How should I feel when I remember the death of Jesus Christ? Should I feel guilty when I take communion? Remembering all the sins that I've committed, should I feel guilty? The answer is no. No, communion is not to make you feel guilty. Because communion says, remember, Jesus has already paid for all your wrongs. So you don't have to feel guilty anymore. That's grace. Should I feel grief? Should I feel when I take the Lord's Supper like this is like a funeral and it's something sad as I remember the death of Jesus Christ? Should I feel grief when I take communion? No, because Jesus didn't stay dead. 3 days later, after they put him in a tomb, they said, he's back. He didn't stay dead. So we don't serve a dead God, a dead Savior. So we don't have to grieve. So we don't have grief. We don't have guilt. What should the attitude be when we take communion? Gratitude. When I take these two elements that symbolize what Jesus did for me, I should be thinking, how could God love me like this? How could God love me this much? You see, the Bible tells us how much he loved us. Look at this verse. The Bible says in 1 John 3:16, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. He laid down his life for us. That's what we should be grateful for. Now, communion, the Lord's Supper is a symbol, but it's not for everybody. No, it's not for everybody. It's only for believers. It's only for those who've accepted that grace gift. But you can become a believer right now. There's nothing to stop you. When we take these symbols of bread and juice, and as we remember what they symbolize, I want you to say, Lord, by taking this, in your mind, you'll be saying, I believe that Jesus died for me, and I accept his grace today. That's what you're saying. I believe that Jesus died for me, and I accept his grace today. Near the city of San Juan Campos in Brazil, there's a remarkable facility. It's a prison. And 20 years ago, the Brazilian government turned it over to a band of Christians. And they said, you can run it, and you can run it on Christian principles. And so they cleaned up the prison, and they renamed it Humanita. And with the exception of two full-time staff members, all the work there is done by inmates. Families outside the prison adopt an inmate to do work with during and after his term. Recently, Chuck Colson went and visited this prison. And he says this, when I visit Humanita, I found the inmates smiling, particularly the murderer who held the keys, opened the gate, and let me in. When I walked in, I saw men who were at peace with themselves and with God. I saw clean living areas. I saw people working industriously. The walls were decorated with biblical sayings from Psalms and Proverbs. He said, my guide escorted me to the notorious prison cell that was once used for torture. Today, he told me, that block houses only a single inmate. As we reached the end of a long concrete corridor and he put the key in the lock, he paused and said, are you sure you want to go in? Of course, I replied impatiently. I've been in isolation cells all over the world. Slowly, he swung the massive door open and I saw the prisoner in that punishment cell. It was a beautifully carved crucifix by the Humanita inmates. The prisoner Jesus hanging on the cross. He's doing time for the rest of us, my guide said softly. You see, folks, this is what the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus is all about. Jesus has served your time. He paid your penalty. He was hung up for your hang-ups. He died in your place. And when we take communion, we remember that Jesus took the punishment that we should have taken. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians 8. You are familiar with the generosity of Jesus Christ. Rich as he was, he gave it all away for us in one stroke. He became poor that we might become rich. You can spell grace, G-R-A-C-E, as God's riches at Christ's expense. That's what grace is. God's riches at Christ's expense. And as we take this cup and drink it today, and as we remember what Jesus has done for us, I want you to say, God, in your mind, Jesus Christ, thank you for your amazing, outrageous, inconceivable grace. In light of the fact that all those 10 things that grace offers to us are made possible because of what Jesus did on the cross, how should I respond? Look at the verse at the bottom of the front page. So we beg you. Hear the urgency in Paul's voice. We beg you. Do not let the grace you receive from God be for nothing. What do I owe Jesus Christ? I owe him the rest of my life. I owe him all that I've got. I owe him the past, the present, the future, everything.
That's Pastor Rick Warren with just a portion of today's study called Amazing Grace from our series called The Hope of Easter. If you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, just go to rickwarren.org and click on his social media links. Oh, and while you're at it, go ahead and sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. That's rickwarren.org or just text the word daily to 313131. Again, that's the word daily to 313131. The second half of today's lesson is coming up.
Pastor Rick says the most time you'll spend on earth is 80, 90, or maybe even 100 years, but you will spend eternity in one of two places. Heaven or hell. Some people believe that being a good person is their ticket into heaven, or that this earthly existence is all they have. But nothing could be further from the truth. That's why Rick has asked us to send you the Eternal Realities, Heaven and Hell Complete Audio Series, as his way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. This teaching is so vital, you'll want to add it to your library of Christian resources and share it with your friends who may not understand the eternal significance of choices they are making. In this series, Rick tackles questions like, are heaven and hell literal places or just metaphors? What is heaven like? If God is loving, why would he send someone to hell? And what does it really take to get into heaven? This solid biblical look at the ultimate choice we all have to make can be yours today when you support this ministry financially. Call us right now at 800-600-5004 or go to rickwarren.org to request this audio series for yourself or a loved one. That's 800-600-5004 or rickwarren.org. If you like, you can simply text the word daily to 313131. That's the word daily to 313131. Thanks in advance for your support.
Once again, here's Rick.
I want to give you three ways you can express gratitude for God's grace. Would you write these down? Number one, I can show my gratitude for God's grace by making my life count. By making my life count. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says this, "Don't you see that you can't keep on living however you please, squandering what God paid such a high price for? So let people see God in and through your body." He's saying here, you can't understand the grace of God and just keep on living the same way you've always lived. You can't understand the grace of God and just keep on ignoring his commands, or just keep on wasting your time on trivia, or just keep on spending your money any way you think you can spend it. You can't do that anymore. You have been bought with a price. You know, after the failed assassination attempt on President Reagan, I remember him saying, "I have a new sense that I was spared for a purpose, and that all my time belonged to God after that." Well, I want to tell you something. Because of Calvary, because of the cross, because of what we just celebrated and remembered, you were spared for a purpose. Jesus Christ did not die on the cross for you to just go on living any old way you want to. He made you for a purpose. He created you for a purpose. He redeemed you for a purpose. He died for you for a purpose. And he wants you to fulfill it. 1 Peter tells us this, "Each person should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms." He says here that the abilities and the talents and the opportunities and the education and the freedom and the relationships and all the things that you have that bless your life were not given just to be squandered, but they were given for a purpose. And God expects you to use those for a purpose because he has shown you his grace. So what I say to you tonight, I beg you, don't waste your life. Jesus Christ died for it. And if he died for it, you better not waste it. Make your life count. Number two, the second way you can show gratitude for God's grace is by becoming a generous person. By becoming a generous person. Remember the verse we read? You are familiar with the generosity of Jesus Christ. Rich as he was, he gave it all away in one stroke. He became poor and we became rich. Now let me just say this. If you want to measure how much you understand grace, if you want to measure how much you're living by grace, if you want to measure how much you are grateful for grace, look at your giving. Look at your giving. Look at what the Bible says. Each one should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace, circle that, all grace, abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Now let's circle all the alls. Okay? All grace, all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every, there's another one, every good work. Those are the promises related to the person who becomes like Christ. And what was Christ like? He was a giver. God so loved the world that he gave. You're never going to become like Jesus until you learn to be generous. Because the Christian life is summed up in three words: love, serve, and give. Love, serve, and give. And until you learn to be generous with your time, with your money, with your life, with your resources, with your opportunities, you're not going to be like Christ. Nothing is greater proof that you understand grace than that you are lovingly gracious and generous to other people and to God. So what I'm saying is this. If you're uptight when I or some other pastor starts talking about giving, or you get defensive, or you get stingy, or you get nervous, it means you don't understand grace. Because look at that verse again. He says, if you give cheerfully, liberally, abundantly, what's God going to do? He says he will take care of all your needs, all the time, in every way, however you need them. Now here's the question. Are you going to trust a God who gave his life for you? If you can trust him enough for salvation, can't you trust him enough in your finances? The truth is, you really don't own anything. You don't own anything. God loans it to you for 60, 70, 80 years, and then you give it back. You don't own anything. It's all his in the first place. If my daughter comes to me and I give her $5 to buy me a present, where's the money really coming from in the first place? But God does that with us. He gives to us liberally, generously, abundantly. And then he says, now show a little gratitude. Be generous in giving yourself. Tithe back to me, and on and on. I just want to, why? Because he needs the money? No, he wants you to become like him. He doesn't want you to have a stingy heart. He wants you to have a Jesus heart. A heart that says, I can't wait to give in every area. See, the Bible says, you might write this verse down, Romans 8:32. Since God loved us enough to give us his own son, won't he love us enough to take care of every one of our other needs? That's kind of logical. The fact is, I can say that I love God and I can sing that I trust God and put him first. But my wallet and my checkbook can show a real difference. God wants me to become generous like him, and he wants me to make my life count. Those are ways to show gratitude. And there's a third way, by sharing the good news of grace. By sharing the good news of grace. Acts 20:24. The most important thing is that I have a successful career. Doesn't say that. The most important thing is that I, what? Complete my mission. The work that the Lord Jesus gave me. To tell people the good news about God's grace. Now notice, it doesn't say the most important thing in life is to get married. It doesn't say the most important thing in life is to fund your retirement. It does not say the most important thing to life is to travel a lot and have a lot of fun. It does not say the most important thing in life is to become famous or pay off the house. It says the most important thing in life is to fulfill your mission. Now, if Jesus died on the cross for you and showed his grace to you so that you could fulfill your mission, if you don't, that's called a massive eternal waste. Now, part of that mission, it's just a part of it, it's not all of it, but a part of your mission is to tell other people the good news of grace. God put you on this earth for a reason. God put you on this earth for a purpose. He has a mission that only you can fulfill. But part of that mission, once you step across the line, is to tell other people. You know Christ because somebody told you. Who are you going to tell? Let me just say it like this. If somebody died for you, would you want to know about it? Yeah, you would. If somebody died for you, you'd want to know about it. And friends, that is the motivation behind everything we do here at Saddleback Church. You see, Jesus died for every single person in Southern California and the world. And this weekend, the typical resident in Orange County will sit at home watching TV, got his hot cocoa probably, or a Bud or something, newspaper, TV on, kicked back, relaxed, totally unaware that Jesus Christ died for him. And the grace that is available, both in the past, the present, and the future. Totally oblivious to that fact. And if that person lives and dies without ever knowing that their sins are forgiven, that there's a place in heaven, that there's a purpose for living, then for that person, Jesus Christ's death is a waste. It's a waste. Now, the Bible tells us in 2 Peter that the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants everybody in his family. Everybody needs Jesus. And because God cares, we must care. And one of the ways we show gratitude for our own salvation is to share that good news with other people and to tell them, because people are dying for the grace of God. Now let me ask you a very serious question. Is anybody going to be in heaven because of you? If you died right now, is anybody going to be in heaven because of you? The big question is, who am I going to tell? Everybody needs Jesus. People this time of year are more open to an invitation to come to church than at any other time of the year. Don't waste it. Last year, over 1,000 people gave their lives to Christ at Easter, friends and relatives of yours that you brought. Do not come to Easter to share the greatest news in the world without bringing somebody that you love.
This is Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren. Now, if you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, simply go to rickwarren.org. That's rickwarren.org, and download the Daily Hope with Rick Warren podcast to listen again. Rick will be back in just a moment with a final word of encouragement, so please stay with us. You know, Pastor Rick says the most time you'll spend on earth is 80, 90, maybe even 100 years, but you will spend eternity in one of two places, heaven or hell. Now, some people believe that being a good person is their ticket into heaven, or that this earthly existence is all they have. But nothing could be further from the truth. That's why Rick has asked us to send you the Eternal Realities Heaven and Hell Complete Audio Series as his way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. This teaching is so vital. You'll want to add it to your library of Christian resources and share it with your friends who may not understand the eternal significance of choices they're making. In this series, Rick tackles tough questions like, are heaven and hell literal places or just metaphors? What is heaven like? If God is loving, why would he send someone to hell? And what does it really take to get into heaven? This solid biblical look at the ultimate choice we all have to make can be yours today when you support this ministry financially. Call us right now at 800-600-5004 or go to rickwarren.org to request this audio series for yourself or a loved one. That's 800-600-5004 or rickwarren.org. And if you like, you can simply text the word daily to 313131. That's the word daily to 313131. And thanks in advance for your support. And now, here's Rick with a closing thought.
You know, perhaps the best known verse in the Bible is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Easter is God shouting down to earth, I love you, I love you, I love you, I care about you, I want you in my family. Have you really grasped that? I want to challenge you this Easter. Don't come to your church's Easter service alone. You know, there are two times a year that most people will accept an invitation to a church service, Christmas and Easter. So don't miss this great opportunity to invite somebody that you care about who doesn't know Jesus. Don't go to church by yourself at Easter. You know, in the Bible, in Luke chapter 14, verse 23, Jesus says this, go out into the highways and the countryside and urge everyone you find to come in so that my house will be full. God wants a full house. And I want people in heaven because you cared enough to invite them. I guarantee you, the people that you invite to Easter service are going to hear a gospel message on Easter. So make a list of the people that you want to invite to bring to Easter service with you. Thanks for listening today. I'd love to hear from you. Write me, Rick, at rickwarren.org. And by the way, if you could send a gift this Easter to help us expand this ministry, I would deeply appreciate it. I know not everybody can afford to give a lot. Some of you can. But whatever amount you give, we're grateful for it, and I want you to know that all of the money given to this ministry goes into the ministry. I do this for free. I take no salary from it. And so you can be certain that this is going to further the good news all around the world. And by the way, let me just say this to you. Happy Easter. And join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.